Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis, Tennessee, that's bringing Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. And we also want to emphasize that we're very close to having the archives restored, and when those are fully restored, all of the different hosts will be adding the show descriptions for all of these different dates with the topics and the URLs of the guests and so forth and so on in what will be a very user-friendly system. We, of course, continue to strive to improve our outreach as well on international shortwave as well as in the acquisition of more conventional affiliates, and all of those things will continue to unfold in the months ahead. Our special guest today is Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. You can find the USS Liberty Survivor site at ussliberty.org. I've also mentioned Eric Margolis's piece in the Toronto Sun in May of 2001, which you can find at Lou Rockwell. Margolis talks about the tragedy of the USS Liberty, which he describes as one of America's most dreaded guarded secrets. Also, James Ennis's piece for the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs in June of 1993 deals with the whole tragedy of the USS Liberty. That's a good summation of where we presently stand on this whole subject as well. Jim, did you have anything further to ask Phil today or to comment on?
Rita's benefit when I said that the blame lies at the top with Admiral Kidd on up. There is this, the system is designed where these people have the power and the authority to stop crooked politicians from doing things like this. All they have to do is resign when they're given orders like that. They can immediately resign their commission and take whatever happens. Of course, their career is gone, but they do have a way of stopping it. If about five or six admirals would have resigned on the spot, Johnson couldn't have covered it up, him and McNamara. There's no way they could have covered it up.
Well, that's an interesting point, Jim, and it kind of reminds me of the whole Colin Powell thing in early 2003. When, as the Secretary of State and as a past chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I think he was in a unique position to speak out in that type of fashion and to potentially resign if he felt that the Bush preemptive war with Iraq was not in the interest of the American people. Powell did nothing of the kind at that juncture and said what Bush wanted said before the U.N., and now, of course, Powell is trying to revise his position on this thing 4 years later. So I think your point's well taken that
he's trying to restore his honor, and you can't do it. You either have honor or you don't. You have to do it at the time. You can't come back later on and say, well, I might have been a little bit wrong, but I meant well. You can't do that. The system's not designed that way. You have to do it on the spot. And that way you can bring accountability to the politicians. They can. Now, this poor enlisted man on the Liberty, or all of them, or even the officers on the Liberty, there's nothing they can do.
It seems to me even the most senior officers directly on the Liberty would have been caught up in the nature of this system as well. Isn't that true, Phil?
Absolutely. It worked. It's through the chain of command, and I might add that John S. McCain, Jr., Admiral, United States Navy, Commander-in-Chief, United States Naval Forces, Europe, was also part of the cover-up. He's the one that directed the Board of Inquiry, and he's the one that had it wrapped up within approximately 7 days, which was nothing but a whitewash and a cover-up. So, yeah, that Senator McCain's dad was absolutely part of the cover-up.
Let's continue with that theme when we come back, Phil, and also take up with some of your journeys in June of 1967 from Malta on forward. Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. You can find the Liberty Survivor site at ussliberty.org. Hesham Talawi tonight on Current Issues, which you can find at www.currentissues.tv, is going to have Ward Boston on talking about the investigation into the USS Liberty tragedy. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross is doing a major story on the USS Liberty that will appear in the not-too-distant future in the American Free Press of Washington, D.C. I urge all of you who read AFP to watch for that story. And for those of you who don't read AFP, I would urge you to subscribe. You can find the American Free Press online at AmericanFreePress.net. And I'm a subscriber, paid subscriber, and am fully pleased with what I receive in AFP, where I can read Mark Glenn and Michael Collins Piper and some of these other fine fellows and can read them virtually nowhere else except, of course, from Mark Glenn's website. But as far as print publications are concerned, it's likely to be in the American Free Press where you will find Piper and Mark Glenn and all of these other great guys to the exclusion of virtually any other print publication that's presently in existence. Phil, we're back, and we're maybe taking it up a little bit with a couple of subjects here. One, Jim, the last caller, was emphasizing what he felt was the real military responsibility in terms of the Liberty tragedy, which begins apparently with Admiral Isaac Kidd and Admiral McCain, John McCain's father, and presumably goes from there directly into the highest echelon of the civilian command at DOD and also into the Oval Office with Lyndon Johnson. Would that be pretty much your take on this?
Absolutely, and it only goes from there to each president since Lyndon Johnson and their cabinet. They will not touch this with a 10-foot pole. As far as they're concerned, it's a done deal. They said it was an accident, and that's the way it is. With evidence to the contrary, eyewitness testimony, top secret documents. There's also documents right now, the National Security Agency, that they will not release. They keep on classifying them as top secret. Every year when they come up for review, they reclassify them as top secret. So as far as I'm concerned, this government is bought and paid for, and it has been ever since Johnson, by the Israeli lobby and the government of Israel have the power. The American people do not have the power. That's my personal point of view. I'm speaking for the Liberty.
Well, I understand that, Phil, and your personal point of view happens to be my own on this subject. I'm frankly terrified by the control that Israel has of the foreign policy of this country. And when I follow the Federal Election Commission paper trail and discover just how much influence the Israeli political action committees have in regard to congressional races and presidential races and so forth, it's a chilling prospect. And one of the things I've urged our listeners to do is to contact the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs at WRMEA.com. I understand that they maintain a pretty complete list and understanding of all of these political action committees, many of which have disguised titles so that their pro-Israel orientation and bias is not always immediately apparent when you first look down a contributors list. But between the Israeli influence in terms of our political process, not to mention what is frankly, in my view, the overwhelming disproportionate influence and ownership of the American media on the part of Jewish financial and political concerns, it goes a long way toward explaining why we find ourselves in this present quandary, where there are those who believe that the present American military involvement in Iraq and apparently what is about to be an American military operation against Iran are largely driven by the Israeli lobby. Dr. Stephen Snigosky of The Last Ditch, who has his PhD from the University of Maryland, was basically making that point on my show last week. And if that's correct, it seems to me that once again we are in a circumstance where a whole new generation of 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds are being placed or will soon be placed in circumstances as tragic and as morally ambiguous as the circumstance that you found yourself in at the age of 20 on June the 8th, 1967.
Absolutely, and that is that's a very, very good point, and the reason I believe it is because it's true. And it's not an anti-Semitic viewpoint. It's just the facts. If you look at the facts, that's what they are. And I might stress that even though that what happened to us, the USS Liberty Veterans Association is not an anti-Semitic group. They call us Jew haters. They call us anti-Semitic. They call us this. They call us that. Let the facts speak for themselves. That's all we're saying. Just let the facts speak for themselves. In fact, on my one award, the reason I bring it up is that it mentions no word of Israel on a Bronze Star I got with the Combat Bee. There's no mention of Israel. I went to the Navy Department, add who attacked us to it. They said they wouldn't do it. I wrote Senator McCain a letter, asked him if he could get it done. He said he wouldn't do it. He says it doesn't need to be there, and the Navy isn't in the habit of changing citations. But there's no word on there on who attacked us. So it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a worthless piece of paper to me.
And that has to be, speaking as one who has not ever been through anything like this in life, that has to be a particularly bitter pill for you and for all of the other survivors of the USS Liberty that for the last 40 years have carried around these burdens. And in your case, Phil, of course, you mentioned that for all of the reasons related to what Admiral Isaac Kidd threatened all of you with in the immediate aftermath of the attack, it took you 20 years before you felt that you were in a position to even begin talking about what had happened to you. And, of course, here we are now 40 years after the event. And you and these other fellows, I think, have such an important role to play in this, not simply in talking about a tragedy that is four decades old, but the larger political context of that tragedy, it seems to me, as we speak about the Israeli-driven American foreign policy, continues to be with us. And in a very real sense, it seems to me that the USS Liberty is not only significant in and of itself as far as who these men were and are that were a part of that mission, but in a very real sense, it seems to me that you guys, whether, and I'm sure that you never intended this, but for a lot of people, myself included, the men of the USS Liberty are beginning to stand as a larger symbol of a larger issue that we're still trying to fight as American citizens, those of us who are at all concerned about it. And maybe that is the, if there is a take on this, a theological take in terms of divine providence, maybe God has utilized the a level of suffering in the lives of these USS Liberty survivors to begin to reach out to the rest of us to say, hey, there's something that happened 40 years ago that none of you have been let in on, none of you have understood before for all of the obvious reasons, but we're here to tell you the story now in order that maybe those of us who went through this 40 years ago might not only save a few lives, but might save a republic, an American republic that is in danger of going down the drain. That's what I see as the ultimate legacy in regard to what you guys are presently doing.
Absolutely, and we're going to continue to do it, as I said before, until the last man is standing. And we can't do it alone. It takes people like you and others to help us. And I don't know if writing Congress is the way to go. We've tried that. We've written the president. We've written everybody we can write. We've done absolutely everything we can do. A short story about two brothers in Grafton, Wisconsin, that donated a lot of money in the millions to build a library called and they were going to call it the Grove Library. Benjamin and Ted Grove were the names. And they read an article in the old Spotlight that I had written in early 1987. And they changed the name of it. They wanted to call it the USS Liberty Memorial Library. The town balked on it and said it was too anti-Semitic, the name. So the Grove brothers said, okay, we'll take the money and we'll give it to the veterans then. And all of a sudden, the town changed their tune. They said, okay, we'll name it the USS Liberty Memorial Library. The library was built, and in little letters was USS Liberty Memorial. And then Van Grove had to donate another $50,000 to have it in large letters, USS Liberty Memorial Library, Grafton, Wisconsin. When the library was opened, we were all there in attendance, the survivors that could make it, and there was a SWAT team there to protect on roofs and in cars and in the street with loaded weapons to protect us, because of the outcry of the Jewish community in Wisconsin. They were afraid that they were going to kill us. So that's how deep this thing goes. The Jewish community in Wisconsin wanted no USS Liberty Memorial Library in their neck of the woods. And to have something so honorable to be put in our name and to have SWAT teams to protect us is un-American.
It's un-American, and I think it's a microcosm of a much bigger problem in regard to the complete restriction and terrorization of political debate on this whole subject of Israeli influence in American foreign policy. We'll be back. This is Mark Gantkos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll take a caller when we return.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
It ain't no joke, I like to buy the world a token, teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, and teach the world to snuff the fires and the
live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. You can find that survivor site at ussliberty.org. Wanted to mention one other thing. Harmony Grant has talked about this, the National Prayer Network. Stephen Snigotsky of The Last Ditch mentioned this on my show last week. Mark Glenn of both the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross has mentioned it to me. And that is the current controversy that surrounds Navy Lieutenant Commander John Sharp. He has been the public affairs officer for the USS Carl Vinson, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and one presumes their allies at the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith have been in the process of having Sharp removed as the public affairs officer for the USS Carl Vinson. And I understand there's a move to get Commander Sharp out of the Navy for having done nothing more than being the editor and publisher of two volumes. One is entitled Neoconned, the other one Neoconned Again. And the contributors to those volumes where Lieutenant Commander John Sharp has been the editor and publisher, have been such people as Pat Buchanan, Justin Raimondo of antiwar.com, Dr. Paul Gottfried of the Elizabethtown College up in Pennsylvania, who also contributes to lewrockwell.com, and Noam Chomsky of MIT has contributed to the Lieutenant Commander's books. And lo and behold, the Southern Poverty Law Center has been working, pressuring the United States Navy to get rid of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, allegedly because of a Navy Regulation 1167, which indicates that naval personnel are to be discharged who are involved in organizations and causes deemed to be quote-unquote anti-Semitic or quote-unquote supremacist in orientation. Who is defining what those terms mean? Who is behind this movement to get rid of Lieutenant Commander John Sharp? That's a big story. We've posted some things at Breaking All the Rules News about this, including Stephen Snigoski's letter representing himself to the Navy Times, which has an establishment take on this whole situation. Keep an eye on this, folks, because the Southern Poverty Law Center and Morris Dees and their allies at the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith are obviously trying in this Sharp case to stifle the same kind of open debate that should be encouraged and stimulated by what happened to these men with the USS Liberty. Does Israel run this country? Do they run the foreign policy of this country? Can their government override the best interests of the American people? Are our representatives in Congress bought and paid for when it comes to the Israel lobby? That may be the larger question that is motivated by this USS Liberty tragedy and also by what is currently happening to Lieutenant Commander John Sharp, formerly of the USS Carl Vinson. Again, keep an eye on that story. Mike in Pennsylvania, you're on the line for Phil Turney. Go ahead, Mike.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, do you guys have a copy there?
A copy?
Okay, you have a copy. Oh, by the way, God bless Republic Broadcasting and death to the New World Order, guys. Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation there, and I'd actually like to get back to Miss Rita again. Yeah, God bless you, sister, out there. I understand your situation there. I myself, I speak from a military background and come from military, and what's going to really have to change in the people's minds is you're going to have to realize that you've been lied to. When you thought you were fighting for your country, it wasn't for your country. Just as the guest there has said that he was more scared of that Admiral Kidd than he was of the actual murderous situation itself. So if you served your country, you must fear your country that much because you usually, well, not usually, always serve what you fear. Now, we were just all thrown into this mess thinking we were doing fine, but let's not forget Miss Cindy Sheehan. They sent a bunch of propaganda her way as soon as her son was killed out there in the battlefront, but she came out of it and came back against them. Once she found out that about the PNAC document, the Project for the New American Century, she was not very pleased that her son had died for basically a reformation of the Mideast over there. And I don't mean to be respectful to you, Mr. Dankoff, or your guests, but large changes are going to have to come about. You're told you're serving your country, just like when old Bush gets up there and he's claiming it's for freedom and the terrorists. No, it's not for freedom and the terrorists. It's for another project altogether. And we would just like to say that, but you're going to have to come upon a mind change there, folks. It's not for your country. And
well,
I thank
Mike,
you.
Thank you. I think that's a legitimate point, and I think that it may be a process of education and personal struggle for many people, but I think you've identified some very, very central issues there. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Phil Turney of the USS Liberty, recounting his side of what happened on June the 8th, 1967. Hesham Talawi's online TV show, Current Issues TV, is going to have Captain Ward Boston on tonight, the man who investigated the USS Liberty situation. He was the counsel to the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry's investigation into the events of that day. He will be on Hesham Talawi's show tonight at 6:30 p.m. Central Time and thereafter. You can find that at www.currentissues.tv. Also be watching for Mark Glenn's piece on the USS Liberty, which is going to come out in the not-too-distant future in a future edition of the American Free Press. Phil, back to this whole Malta situation for a moment. What was the chain of events in your own situation after the USS Liberty left Malta?
Well, I do want to mention one thing.
Sure.
When we were in Malta, they patched a hole, of course, and they cut out all the holes in the ship. I helped cut some of them out myself. But they repainted the ship and made it look like brand new. It was unbelievable. But on our way back, again, I was on sound security watch and bringing her back to the United States. And in that ship, you could still get the smell of death and fuel oil. It's something I'll never forget. I just won't forget it.
Yes.
We brought the ship back, and it was a skeleton crew, which means just a handful of us brought it back. And we pulled into Little Creek, Virginia, and we thought we were going to get a rising review of our peers, but it turned out to be a little bit less than a fizzle. A ship that had gone through, and a crew had gone through what we'd gone through, and it just overwhelmed us that the cover up was even there. I mean, it was we knew there was a cover up, but to the extent that what they did was simply unbelievable. There was no news coverage. There was nothing. It was just like a little homecoming, but. I stayed in the Navy until December the 17th aboard the Liberty, and then I was discharged. And then I reenlisted again and went back in for two more years. But that's pretty much the story in a nutshell. But it continues to this day in my heart and many others' hearts that this story is never going to go away till the truth comes out. And we just have a hard time figuring out how to get the truth out.
Yes, and this of course touches upon what we've talked about in a variety of different shows on this particular offering of RBN, and I trust for some of the other RBN shows as well. And that is when you you get into who owns news media in this country, and the five or six major news media consortiums that I'm referring to, which have a disproportionate amount of Jewish money and Jewish ownership structures involved with them, this does, I think, touch upon the larger reason why this story has not gotten out in a more definitive fashion, either at the time or in the 40 years since. Do you find, Phil, in your own circumstance, I mean, I've got a lot of good friends who've been through many of these types of things in World War II and Korea and Vietnam, fellows that I have known largely through my dad's career. Do you still struggle with this in terms of flashbacks and dreams at night and things like this?
Absolutely, I do. I certainly do. And 40 years later was like yesterday to me. And the larger scope of it is the complicity and the backstabbing of our own government to not come clean on this issue and give Israel a free ride to murder innocent Americans. I can't get over that. I just can't understand it, and I can't understand why we continue to give them billions and billions of dollars every year, hardware, stuff that we need for our own service people, they get first. I remember Admiral Moore told me a story one time that during the Yom Kippur War, Israel demanded more hardware, more planes, more ammo, more munitions. The Admiral told him that his Israeli counterpart, that they didn't have it, and he'd have to go through the Congress and the Israeli counterpart says, "Don't you worry about Congress. I'll take care of Congress."
And
they got what they wanted.
Yeah, and again, just tracing the money trails, both in the congressional races as well as with the presidential sweepstakes, it doesn't take a real rocket scientist to figure out why the Israeli lobby has had such a disproportionate amount of influence and control in the American political process and why this has understandably skewed American foreign policy in a direction that I personally believe is not in the interest of the people of this country. And Phil, I was going to ask you as well, do you think that if the American public had been really made aware, not only in 1967, but in all the years that have followed, if they really had been and had been made aware on a mass media basis of what happened to you guys on June the 8th, 1967, do you think that it would have changed this country's relationship with Israel? And do you think that today we would find ourselves in the Middle East militarily as we presently are?
I certainly don't. I think that if the American people were told the truth, there would still be over 3,300 American lives alive right now that have perished in Iraq. And I must say that during the attack and when they were trying to sink us, imagine our ship sinking and nobody know who did it. Who do you think they were going to blame it on? As they certainly weren't going to blame it on Israel. They would have blamed it on the Arabs. And our government had been drawn into a war. I understand it through talking with my different friends and shipmates that we came closer to a nuclear holocaust on June the 8th than we ever did during the Cuban Missile Crisis. So the Russians told us to back off during that confrontation, and in my thinking, a lot of other shipmates' thinking is, well, if we would have sunk, the Americans would have had to get into the war, and Israel would not just own what little strip of land they stole. Now they would own all the Middle East.
Yes, and you know, this again gets into our ongoing attempts to find out the larger political meaning of what all was involved in this situation. And I think both Gary Brummett and Commander Dave Lewis have mentioned a book to me by a British writer named Peter Hunan, and it's entitled Operation Cyanide. And as I understand it, there's still a lot that is totally classified in regard to this so-called Operation Cyanide. But there is some prima facie evidence, or at least some prima facie suggestive evidence, that would point toward an Israeli motive for this attack that's above and beyond what I had initially suspected. Where the first time I ever read about this tragedy, I thought, well, they simply wanted to preempt the ability of an intelligence gathering vessel, the USS Liberty, that was outfitted with the latest surveillance equipment by the National Security Agency. They wanted to preempt an American intelligence pipeline into what they were doing in the Six-Day War. That may have been part of it, but I guess Hunan's book may suggest that, in fact, Israel was in the process of putting together a false flag incident, potentially, where if the USS Liberty had been destroyed, and if the source of that destruction had been pinned on an Arab nation like Egypt instead of Israel, it would have created the political clamor and context in this country for an American entry into the war on the side of Israel that presumably would have enabled Israel to greatly expand their present borders in the Middle East. Do you think that might ultimately prove downstream, as more information eventually comes out, to be what was finally behind this?
I think that that is exactly where it's headed, and I think that he's dead on when he talks about that. And I believe that if we would have sunk, his writings are completely true. That is exactly what would have happened. And the Middle East would be completely different now. And it didn't happen 40 years ago, but now it is. And it is started with Iraq, and who knows where it's going to end up. But it is all for the interest of the government of Israel. And that is, again, my personal opinion. And that is just the way I feel about it.
Well, that's my feeling too. And you know, as I watched this whole thing unfold, I had a Persian guest on the show on Friday, Mehdi Amini, who was with a group called the United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. He's based in the United States now on the East Coast. And he was talking about these American naval deployments, as we have been reading about them in the Persian Gulf region, talking about the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower and the USS John C. Stennis, two American aircraft carriers with all their supporting vessels being in proximity to Iran, presumably, that this creates a situation where either due to an accident or a false flag incident, we could see ourselves quite clearly getting in, you know, backing into a larger military conflict with Iran. And I think that the Iranian detention of these 15 British Marines is certainly suggestive of a larger problem that would ensue if that had involved personnel of the United States. And as I watch this whole thing transpire, you know, we know a lot more now historically about what was involved in the sinking of the USS Maine than what our high school history textbooks were telling us at the time. There's a much wider context to Pearl Harbor and Franklin Roosevelt, according to Robert Stennett's book, Day of Deceit, than what we have been led to believe in establishment history texts. Obviously, this USS Liberty thing is a microcosm of a circumstance that the average American dependent upon corporate media cannot possibly comprehend. And here we are 40 years after the fact, wondering if there is going to be an incident in the Persian Gulf or at the Strait of Hormuz or in the Shatt al-Arab waterway or in the Indian Ocean or the Eastern Mediterranean that is going to provide a pretext for a an American military involvement, a larger one, in the Middle East that might have Israel as the ultimate power source pulling the strings and manipulating the chess pieces on the board behind the scenes. That's frankly what I'm afraid of, and it seems to me that you would entertain the idea that that's entirely possible, some would even say probable.
Absolutely. And it is, I don't think it's when, it's just if it's going to happen. It's going to happen sooner than later. They didn't send those ships over there just so they can float around and use up you know, oil and food and supplies. I believe, and I hope this doesn't come true, but I believe that a war with Iran is almost inevitable and then soon.
Well, yes, and, you know, I lived in that country over 30 years ago. My parents were stationed there. I was going over there for a series of summers when I was a college student in the United States. I did not have an opportunity to learn much Persian because of my summer stints there. I was away from school, taking a vacation from studies, but I've done a great deal of reading about Persian history and Iranian geography, trying to understand more about the contemporary Iranian political structures in recent years, as I've been interacting with a lot of Iranian expatriates around the world who've been giving me their own confidential private stories as to what the revolution did to them and did to their families one way or the other. And as I look at this as one who loved Iran when I was there, I have a lot of Iranian friends, both in this country and Europe, as well as still in Iran. And I look at the way that this whole thing is playing out, and it seems to me that there are unseen hands at work. And people like Pearl and Wolfowitz and Wormser come to mind, and Netanyahu comes to mind in this regard, who may be pushing this country and Iran into a military conflict that is in the interest of neither country for purposes and an agenda that the average citizen of our country certainly does not see or understand. And that, to me, is absolutely chilling.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you, and it's frightening what can come of it and how many lives are going to be lost or how many years this is going to go on is untold. But I don't care what administration it is, who's president or not, the passionate attachment that this government has for Israel is not going to go away anytime soon, not until the American people see the light, and until they do, we're in for a long haul of death and destruction. And again,
yes,
that's my personal opinion.
Well, it's certainly mine too, for what that's worth. And you know, looking at something today that you know has appeared in the press in recent times, the Russians are reporting that there may well be an American attack on Iran as early as Good Friday morning. We'll see if the Russians prove to be great prophets or if they missed the date for that attack to take place. But suffice it to say that I think it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong, but everything seems to point toward it. And it seems to me that Cy Hirsch's recent piece for The New Yorker, talking about as many as 400 potential target selection sites in Iran to be hit by an American aviation war, possibly utilizing tactical nuclear weapons. That's something that Dr. Michael Chosadovsky talked on this show about some weeks ago when he made his appearance for Global Research. And then there might be an American boot presence on the ground thereafter. It does not look good. When we come back, I'll take another caller. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, RBN. Stay tuned.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We'll be right back.
and Haas America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today has been Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. For those of you interested in more information on this subject, find the USS Liberty Survivor site at ussliberty.org. Tune in to Dr. Hesham Talawi tonight. That's www.currentissues.tv. He's going to be interviewing Captain Ward Boston, Captain Ward Boston, who was involved in the investigation of this incident as legal counsel to the U.S. Navy's official board of inquiry in regard to what happened to the Liberty. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press is going to have an article that's going to come out in a future edition of AFP dealing with the USS Liberty. I cannot urge you strongly enough to get a copy of American Free Press if you're not already a subscriber, to subscribe, not simply because it's a great publication anyway, but Mark's article on the USS Liberty is going to be well worth your time. Also, Eric Margolis's piece and James Ennis' past piece on this subject online can be found through a Google search. Those will be worth your time as well. Phil, I had a listener send me a note, told me to ask you if you feel that there's something more at work than just simple bribery in all of this. Do you think nuclear blackmail of the United States could also be involved?
I think anything's possible. I couldn't give you a definitive answer on that. But what I've learned in life is that things change daily, and you never know what can happen. I just that's a tough question. But it's a well-known fact that Israel wants nobody in the Middle East to have nuclear weapons except themselves, and I think they have enough to wipe out the whole world if they wanted to.
Well, yeah, and this gets into, I guess the listener was thinking potentially, I'm just guessing here, but maybe potentially thinking about Cy Hirsch's work on this subject entitled The Samson Option, where apparently the Zionist State of Israel is at a point in its history where it has decided that its own nuclear program, in the event of its own threatened destruction, would in effect be used to pull down, using the Samson metaphor here as a motif, would be used to pull down the rest of the world along with it.
Absolutely. Who knows how many Israeli subs are off either coast of our country right now.
Yes, and again, as we think about this, I think to put this into its proper context, the international media, clearly when we get outside the U.S. and start looking around for responsible coverage on events in the Middle East, it's being reported so constantly that the United States is believed to be in the process of planning an attack on Iran, that this is certainly the majority view, I would think, at least outside the United States in regard to this subject. I know Pat Buchanan has suggested that Admiral Fallon's appointment to CENTCOM, where CENTCOM has always been headed by an Army general, now we have a Navy admiral heading up CENTCOM in a way which suggests, at least to Mr. Buchanan, that an aerial assault on Iran and the protection of the Strait of Hormuz is potentially what is behind this Fallon appointment. We'll find out. Bill, thank you very much for being on the show. Phil Turney of the USS Liberty. We're going to have some more coverage on the USS Liberty in coming days. There's other guests. I really thank Phil hard for being here. You can read more about this at the USS Liberty site, ussliberty.org. Tune in Ward Boston tonight on the show at TV. To the American giving us a new article on USS Liberty. I'm